Welcome to Kingdom Perspective Broadcast, the teaching ministry of Dr. David Ogaga. We believe that this message is going to open up the seals and cause you to have a deeper revelation into the Word of God that will make you see beyond the letters in the Word. Here is Dr. David.
Precious Father, we want to thank and exhort you once again. We give you all the praise, glory, and adoration. For you are worthy, you are faithful, you are loving. We thank you, Lord, for calling us to yourself. We thank you for making us to become sons. We thank you for the grace and the ability that causes us to see a greater light, in that which you have ordained for us from the foundation of the world. We rejoice and be called your sons. And we ask the God of glory that you instruct us on the way to walk with you, even as children, the more on a daily basis. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Okay. I'm going to try to wrap up what I started a few weeks ago, and the power of sight. This is going to be part number three. Power of sight, part number three. And our main text is Genesis 3, verse 1 to 6, or to 7, rather. But let us read verse 7, verse 6 and 7 alone. Genesis 3, hallelujah. Who is on the machine? Please, you're going to be fast. You need to change. All right. The Bible says, now Adam and Eve, they ate of the tree. Is that okay? And the Bible says, and the eyes of them both were what? No, give me verse 6 first. Verse 6. Praise God. He said, when the woman saw, that's the key point we're dealing with. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Amen. Yeah, she saw, she partook, and gave to the husband. Very good woman, right? Amen. Women, try give us what is good, not what will kill us. Again, this one was killing, poison. She partook. It's like saying, I won't die alone. My man must die together with me. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, but the point I'm raising is, she saw for the first time. All along, she'd be seeing the tree, but this is the first time. Like I keep on explaining, this is when she finally got to see how powerful the tree really is. Amen? Yeah. So, to see is to experience, is to know, you'll be able to see beyond the natural. Praise the Lord. And the Bible says, verse 7, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Amen. And I try to explain that to you, that sometimes when we fall away from God, we try to look for a religious system to cover up our nakedness, you know, before the Lord. We try to get ourselves, we try to protect ourselves, we try to give excuses, maybe, why we perhaps have fallen. Praise the living God. So that's the point. But let me show you something. Colossians 3 verse number 10. Colossians 3 verse number 10. Hallelujah. Okay, go with me to, let's take it from verse 9. 9 to 10. Lie not one to another, saying that you have put off the old man with his deed. The old man with his deed. I want you to get that. You have put off the old man with his deed. So lie not to one another. Amen. Verse 10. And I put on the new man, which is renewed in what? In knowledge. After the image of him that created him. The image of him that created me. How are you to be renewed there? Through knowledge. Why? Because you fell through knowledge. So to come back to your rightful position of dominion, you need knowledge. Did you get that? Are you with me? You'll be renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. That means knowledge brings you to the place where you become as God. And what I mean when I say as God is, you're receiving the attributes of God. You're becoming the intention of God from the very beginning. What was the intention? Let's make man after our image and what? after likeness. What brings you back there is true knowledge. Why? Because you left that position through knowledge. When they partook of the knowledge of good and evil, they left the position, the authority, the dominion they had was taken away from them. And all of us, the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen? So, we also partook of that system by operating in that dimension of the tree of life. Tree of knowledge of good and evil. So now, for us to get out of that, we have to renew our mind through knowledge. That is why it's important. You can't think of being a Christian and you don't study the word, you don't pray to receive the word. No. Your mind has to be renewed on a liberal basis, and it can only be renewed through your word. The word of God. Hallelujah. So it's important you study the word. It's important you read your Bible. It's so important. Don't miss it. Knowledge is vital in any system, in any situation, but especially this. Praise the living God. Okay. I have a story for you to illustrate a little bit of this in a deeper dimension. Last week I showed you when the Bible made us understand when Jesus healed that man that was blind. And he said, "What do you see?" He said, "I see men as trees." You remember that? Then he told your eyes again, "I see men the way they are." Two worlds. We have two worlds in existence. We're living in that dimension. In the true sense of it, once you connect to Christ, you are supposed to be operating in these two dimensions. You see, Jesus made us understand from the book of Genesis 28, when the Bible says, Jacob saw the ladder that touched up to heaven. Angels ascending and descending. It's not just angels per se. If you look at that in the book of John chapter 1, you remember, 51 down, begin to see where he spoke to Philip the Nazareth. Remember that. Say, "You are a true Israelite indeed. Henceforth, you shall see angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." How was Philip going to do that? It's you and I moving in Christ. By implication, you have opportunity and the privileges. You can move into the spirit dimension and come out of the spirit dimension. You can see things that the natural man cannot see. Hallelujah. Your mind and your heart will be open. Your spirit will be open to a new and a whole world outside there that you cannot see in the natural eyes. That is why you must develop capacity as a Christian, as a believer, as a child of God, that your understanding is not limited to the natural. It's not limited to the natural. You must understand that. Praise the living God. Okay, let me show you this. Let's read from 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 13. This was the king of Samaria about to war with the king of Israel. And record how did that every time, I'm saying verse 13, every time that they're planning to go to war against Israel, God will speak to Elisha and say, "Don't go this way. Tell your army of Israel not to go this way. They are laying ambush here." And then the king now said, "Who is betraying our plans and whatever?" And they said, "No, nobody." So there's a man in Israel, the Elisha, and everything you're doing here, he sees it. That's the kind of life we're supposed to be living. Hallelujah. All the plans you're having here, he knows. Nobody's leaking your secret. It's okay, go get him arrested. That is a beautiful thing I want you to see here. So verse 13, the Bible says, "And he said, 'Go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him.' And it was told him, saying, 'Behold, he is in Dothan.'" Verse 14. "Therefore send he thee the horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about." They come in to pick him now. Verse 15. "And when the servant of the man of God was risen early," Eliezer now, what do you call him? Gehazi. "And gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city with both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, 'Alas, my master, how shall we do?'" Hallelujah. "Fear gripped him when he saw chariots of horses all over the place, surround the city." That means they were already encamped. No room, no way for escape. And he was so worried, he had to cry to the master. Verse 16. "And he answered, Fear not. And I can say the same thing to you today. Hallelujah. Don't be afraid of anything. Don't be worried about people that are trying to come against you, come around you, and trying to subdue you. Don't you ever be worried about that. He who is with us is greater than he that is in the world. If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. Always be on the path of God, and that's what matters. Hallelujah. Look at verse 17. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. Was he blind? Okay. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mantle was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Praise the living God. Did you get that? Open his eyes to see. He was so afraid. That's why some of you, I think what you really need sometimes is God trying to come close enough to make you see who you are, how much protection he has for you, how much defense he has made available to you. The servant never knew. He was always seeing from the natural perspective. But God opened his eye to see into the spirit, and he began to see that there were chariots of horses of fire surrounding Elijah. That means Elijah, wherever he goes, there were angelic beings that were watching over him. That the servant didn't know. And that's what some of you don't know. That wherever you find yourself, there are angelic beings. In fact, God will not forsake you. God is with you always to the end of the age. His protection is guaranteed. Hallelujah. So you must take your mind away from the issue of devils, the issue of people trying to do one thing or the other to you. Can I tell you something? You have protection. Hallelujah. He opened his eyes and he saw chariots of fire round about Elisha. This man was not walking alone. He was walking with angelic hosts. By implication, even as we are here now, we are surrounded by angelic hosts, but we don't see them because our eyes are dimmed to the natural. We don't see into the spirit dimension. That's a big problem. That is what we must pray about, to get above, beyond just walking naturally all the time. You can see vision, you don't see no dream, nothing. You can't interpret even the dreams you have. No. You can't walk like that as a child of God. Amen. Praise the living God. I'll show you what happened to the life of Jacob when it comes to business. Look at look at verse 20 of the same passage, 2 Kings 6:20. Now, when the armies came to the city, Elijah caused them to be blinded. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, and it came to pass when they were come into Samaria, that Elijah said, open the eyes of these men, that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw. And behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. You know what happened? They came, did all that they wanted to do, and Elijah just spoke to the Lord, get them blinded, and escorted them back home. He just escorted them back to where they're coming from. And by the time they got to Samaria, the Lord said, open their eyes. By the time they opened their eyes, they discovered that we're in the midst of Samaria. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. But I think if you were one of those people like Elisha, you would kill these guys. That's a problem. Amen? No, you know they came to kill you. They came to pick you up. They came to arrest you. And then you're able to subdue them. What are you going to do with them? Wipe them off. But Elisha said no. Took them back to Samaria. When they get there, said, Lord, open their eyes. They opened their eyes and they discovered that they were right where? In the midst of Samaria. Praise the living God. Now what I want you to see there is this. Elisha asked God to open the eyes of this young man. And he was able to see for the first time the kind of people that surrounds them, that protects them. The point is this. You may not even, you've been worshiping God, but you don't know how much of God's protection that are around you. Is that because you are not seeing? You are not understanding what God is doing with you. Hallelujah. So, when you look at Matthew chapter 5, verse number 8, Jesus now said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Hallelujah. What does it mean to see God? God is spirit. You're not going to see God in the streets. Hallelujah. But you will be able to know who God is. You're able to have an experience. You're able to have impartation from the Lord. Purity of heart. Singleness of heart. That's what the Bible says. The double-minded man let you know he can receive nothing from God. If your heart is not pure towards God, if you don't come to that place of knowing that God is God anytime, anywhere, any day, you see God, you see devil there, you can experience God. I mentioned that to you the last time. Opposite of God is not the devil. What's the opposite of God? God. Opposite of God is God. Amen. He lives in you, isn't it? He lives in me. I'm looking at you. Who am I seeing? I'm seeing God. You are seeing God in me. I'm not going to see the devil. I will never want my eyes to be seeing the devil in people. Praise God, somebody. The God in you is the one I need to relate to, is the one I need to minister to me. The God in you, you must understand that. Praise God. So blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. They shall experience God. They shall know God. Amen. That's what Jesus said. Matthew 5 verse number 8. It's very important you understand this. So God is saying, you have the privilege of seeing God. Jesus is declaring that. You can't miss it. Hallelujah. Go with me to Job chapter 19 verse 25. Whew. Job 19 verse 25. If you are seeing God, some of your testimonies, when I use the word testimony, the things you say, the things you believe about yourself, the things you believe about your children, you won't be able to see that. It'll be completely a different story. If you're seeing God, if you're experiencing God, because if you're speaking from a vantage position as to your experiences about your life, about your children's life, about everything around you. Praise God. Here is Job speaking, verse 25. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Hallelujah. Look at verse 26. And though after my skin worm destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. He said, when people sing that song, I know my Redeemer liveth. Sometimes I used to wonder if they really meant what they are saying. You know why I say that? If you can go half of what Job passed through, I'm not sure you'll be able to sing that song. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is a confession of faith beyond what any other man. I mean, imagine what he went through. But he said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. He that come to the Lord must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I know my Redeemer liveth. Whether I've lost everything, God lives. Whether I'm sick right now, God lives. Hallelujah. Are you following me? That is the thing. And he's saying, no matter what is going on, I know in this condition of mine, with my natural self, I am going to see God. I will see God with my eyes. Hallelujah. And go to chapter 42, I'm sure. You now say, now my eyes have seen thee. I mean, if you don't understand that. When God restored everything back to him, double. Say, now my eyes have what? Have seen thee, O Lord. Now I've understood exactly who you are. Now I can understand how you deal with people. Now I know that you don't forsake the ones you've chosen. I can understand, oh God. Now my eyes have seen thee. So in this condition, he said, no matter what is going on, in this body of mine shall I see God. I will experience him no matter what is going on. May your faith be in God. May your faith be in God. May your eyes be lifted up to see the living God. Hallelujah. Your condition is not permanent. There's going to be a change. And when the change comes, that is when God begins to minister to you. In this body, in my flesh, shall I see God. Hallelujah. Look at verse 27. And I like this. Amen. Verse 27. Whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. Though my ribs be what consumed within me, I am going to see God for myself. Nobody's going to tell me stories about God. I will see Him for myself. Hallelujah. I mean, you must come to this position where you can confess it, where you can believe it, where you can know it. That it doesn't have to be somebody introducing God to you all the time. You must experience God yourself. It's personal. It's not with the eyes of another. I'm going to see God with my own eyes. It's not going to be story people coming to tell me. No, it's not going to be consolation. It's not going to be somebody coming to project God to me in another manner. I'm going to see God by myself. I'm going to experience God in this life. His faith rose. He was seen beyond the natural at this point. Are you following what I'm saying now? So no matter what you are going through, no matter the pains, no matter the pressure, understand what Job is saying here. Follow suit. With your eyes shall you see God. Amen. Not with the eyes of another. What he was trying to say, I know I'm going to have experience that is beyond the natural. I know God is going to come through for me. I'm not going to lose faith in God. I'm not going to be discouraged because I'm going through this. My children are dead. Business is gone. No, that's not enough. I'm going to see God. By implication, there's going to be restoration. Everything I lost is going to come back to me. With my eyes shall I see God. Not with the eyes of another. And so shall it be with you. In the name of Jesus Christ. God is going to come through for you. In whatever situation you find yourself, He's going to show Himself strong. He's going to show Himself strong. And the Bible says God will show Himself strong on the behalf of those whose heart is perfect towards Him. God is going to show Himself strong. You will see God with your eyes. Not somebody coming to tell you stories. You will see God with your eyes. The goodness and the message of the Lord shall not forsake your home. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay. Genesis 13 verse 14. There is another dimension. And this is where we begin to key up to the same faith that Abraham had. And the Lord said unto Abraham, Genesis 13, 14. After that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thy eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land. Hallelujah. Which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be what numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it, and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee for all the land. Which thou seest, to thee will I give it, the seed forever. What you see is what you possess. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm saying? What you see is what you possess. And that is why you see when Adam and Eve saw, I mean, the tree was the next thing that happened. Remember, they experienced the power of the tree, isn't it? What you see is what you possess. And yet, God is speaking to Abraham. Just take a look. Look through all the four cardinal points. And not just that, walk up to it. Move around it. And this has to be by faith. By implication. When God gives you some revelation, God wants you to start moving with the dimension of that revelation. You don't see and remain stagnant. If you can see a little bit of your life for tomorrow, you can have hope to move on to catch up with what God has in mind for you. Praise the living God. Are you still here with me?
Walk around it, arise and move around whatever you can see. The perimeter of what you're seeing.
In other words, do something about what God has revealed to you. Praise the living God.
He said, as far as you can see. So, it is how far you can see that determines what you possess. It is what you can perceive in the spirit realm that will determine what you can possess. No power can stop you.
Hallelujah.
Are you sitting there with me? Let me show you something. Psalm 78 verse 41. Just give me Psalm 78 verse 41. Let me read something here for you.
Hallelujah.
Okay, go back to verse 40. Let me read it. Verse 40. How often did they provoke me in the wilderness and grieve me in the desert? God is talking about the children of Israel as he brought them back. What's the next thing? Yeah, they turned back and tempted me and limited the Holy One of Israel. Your perception of God either increases your faith and moves you forward, or you're going to be stagnated. And I made a statement, and people don't seem to flow with it. At least one person or so. They cannot pick it. That you can't limit God. But I say you can. It is plainly written here in scriptures. Is that not true? They limited the Holy One. You know that what they frustrated him. That's what it means. He couldn't take them forward. They want to go back to eat garlic in Egypt. Hallelujah. But he already told them, the land I'm taking you to is flowing with milk, what? And honey. They can have that in their mind. They can keep it in their mind. They want natural things. They couldn't speak. I mean, see things by faith to move on. And so they limited the Holy One of Israel.
Praise the living God.
By implication, they rejected his offer. They rejected what he has promised them. They rejected what he wants to do in their life. May that not be your portion.
Hallelujah.
They limited the Holy One of Israel because they could not retain all the revelation God gave to them. I'm taking you to the promised land. How many of you understand this? Why? They said, let us go and spy out the land. Was there any need going to spy the land out? Because it's come to a place, especially when Miriam and Aaron, this is why you don't attack your leadership in the midst of other people. If you have any issue, go talk with them. Miriam and Aaron, they came attacking Moses. Remember that? You know, Miriam was the eldest. I mean, come on, are you the only prophet? Are you the only man? How do you go married from here? I mean, they were just washing this guy down. And the whole congregation, they were hearing what they were saying. And so they start losing faith in who? In Moses. So when he got to the point, I said, man, this Moses, you can't trust him. Let's find some people to go spy out the land first. Did you see that? The way you respond to your leadership will make the congregation to lose faith in your leadership.
Hallelujah.
That's why they want to go and spy out the land. There was no point. God said, I'm taking you there. So why go spy it? Because they've come to the place where they no longer trust Moses. Because Aaron and Miriam, they spoke negative things about Moses. They accused him of marrying from another tribe and so on and so forth. Do you understand what I mean? I mean, I can apply this to families. Husbands and wives, especially wives, you better know how to talk to your children in the presence. I mean, even if your husband is not there, mind what you say about your husband. You know why? Because the children will lose respect for your husband. And when they lose respect for your husband, they become rebellious. And the authority that God has ordained for the house will be damaged. And eventually, you'll be the one to suffer. I don't know if you're getting this. You mind what you say to your husbands. At home, very important. Don't bring them down. Not even your children. I mean, your wife as well. Don't bring anybody down before the children. Because you destroy the whole system. Rebellion will begin to come up in the heart of those that are hearing you. So these people got rebellious to the point where they say, no, we're going to spy out the land because we can no longer trust Moses. But guess what? And I mentioned that in the camp. You better be careful when people are speaking that you don't join them to speak. Because you may not have the same grace before God. What do I mean? Aaron was a priest. They are from Levite. Moses, Aaron, Miriam from the Levites. They are all Levites. Is that okay? But when he said this thing, what happened? Miriam became leprous, but Aaron was free. So please be careful. Don't join people to commit the same sin. They can be free. You may not be free. God is not righteous? No. He knows what he's doing. Who are that old man that replies against God? Did you get that? Two of them spoke against Moses. She became leprous. Aaron was still walking free. Because Aaron was a Levite. He was a priest. Miriam was only a prophet or a prophetess. Is that okay? Come on. Is anybody following what I'm saying here? So be careful. I've always illustrated this. And I've also used the life of Abraham and the father of John, which is Zechariah. Zechariah was a priest. Abraham was a father in terms of calling. What happened? When God told Abraham, you're going to have a child, he doubted, even Sarah laughed. God said nothing about it. But he simply said, okay, you don't mind. Your wife laughs, no. Then he laughed, okay. Next year, this time, your wife is going to have a baby. And then when the angel came to speak to Zechariah, remember, they were old now. Zechariah is like, hey, man, at this age, how is that possible? It's okay. If you don't believe, you're going to be dumb until the child is given birth to. You see that? Abraham committed the same offense with Zechariah. Abraham was let free. Zechariah was punished. Be careful. Are you following what I'm talking about? Yeah. So when people are saying certain things, just keep yourself out of it. Stay out of any kind of gossip. Stay out of any kind of words that have been spoken about and certain people. Because if God's judgment comes in a way, you might be punished. Those who are free, because they have different relationship with who? With God. Hallelujah. Are we here? So that's the point. The limited Holy One. Be careful. What am I trying to say here? If God says things to you, you don't have to start measuring it, weighing it, debating it in your mind, in your heart. No. If he says a thing to you, believe him. If he said, I'm taking you there, believe he will take you there. Don't doubt him. Hallelujah. Neither will he keep on thinking that your past is better than your future. Israel wanted to go back to Egypt. Oh, the garlic, oh, the onion, oh, the cucumber. Some of you eat cucumber, right? Mm-hmm. Israel people, they are very good at cucumber eaters. You know, oh, the cucumber, the garlic, the onion, in Egypt, we don't see anything. The only thing we see in this desert place now is manna. But the Bible refers to the manna as angelic food. But they prefer natural food to angelic food. Why? Because they can't see. They couldn't see. They couldn't understand where they were going. So one of the reasons why you rebel against God, because you don't see the plan of God for your life. You don't see the future where you are staying. You don't see. That's why you rebel against God most often. And guess what? You have to be careful with the kind of voices you hear, which may claim to be the voice of God leading you. My sheep know my voice. They hear me. They have to understand that the voice of stranger they will not follow. Why am I saying this? Recently, one Abraham, whatever, I've forgotten the other name now. A South African pastor, the big church, 100,000 congregation, said he had a voice two times that he become a Muslim. And then he came to the church and turned the whole congregation into Islam. And he went to Mecca. And he was now crying, oh, I have seen the light. Which light did you see? Oh, because he had a voice. You must mind. That's what I'm telling you. Christianity is not the size. I mean, whatever the case may be. It's personal relationship with God. People can't even differentiate the voice of God and the voice of the devil. How can a voice begin to tell you? Do you understand what I mean? I mean, the thing is on my phone there. It was sent to me. Voice speaking to you that you have to become a Muslim. That is the greater light than the light of Jesus. And then you came to church the next day and they told the congregation, ah, this is what the Lord have told me. Allah has spoken to me, and now we are going to be worshiping as Allah I mean, you know what it means to buy down and chuck head on the ground? Yeah, now we're going to do that. And the whole congregation followed him because they respect the pastor. All of them became Muslims. South Africa. Yeah, because of the voice. You must know the kind of voice that comes to you. That's what I'm saying. Your work as believers must go beyond your Sunday thing that you're doing. It must go beyond that. You must know this God. Hallelujah. So Israel, what did they do? They limited the Holy One. That means their own thinking was different from the mind of God for them. Some of you, this is your problem. God has mind for you, but you don't see what he has in mind for you. You'll be thinking differently. Sometimes God has a way of positioning you or even bring you to a certain relationship just because of what he wants to do in your life. But you may prefer other people. You may prefer other situations as compared to what God is bringing you into. God knows better for you what you ought to become. You should stay on with what God is saying. Remain there and be faithful to what God is saying. Praise the living God, somebody. Are you following me? You know, we are people who God can bring you to a kind of relationship, the kind of a church, the kind of fellowship, and little offenses will set you back and begin to send you away. A young man called me recently from Akwa Ibom, and I said, Pastor, I'm following your write-up in Facebook. I think you can cancel with me. I said, so what's the problem? He dropped all the notes. I picked the phone and I called him and said, he has a problem with his senior brother. That's what he's saying. Senior brother is a senior pastor, and then he was pastoring under a senior pastor. Then I asked him, what do you read when Ishmael's mother was driven away or maltreated by Sarah? What did the angel say? The angel said, what are you doing here? Oh, my mistress mistreated me and all of those things. Okay, there is water there for the child. Give the child water and go back and submit yourself to her. Go back to Sarah. You can't get out of that house. Why? Because the future of this child is tied to that man called Abraham. Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, can you imagine that? The angel said, go back. God knows better for you. Some of you run away from local assemblies where God has really positioned you for certain things to happen in your life. Because you are not seeing. You are not seeing. You are not understanding. There are relationships that God has said, you got over here. It is only through this relationship that I will bless you. But you want to go away. You want to pull out. You want to break those relationships for flimsy reasons and excuses that amounts to nothing. I'm counseling with you this morning. Don't limit God. Hallelujah. Don't limit God. If you bring you to a relationship, maintain the relationship. If he keeps you in a particular local assembly, understand why you are there. Stay there. Be committed. Do whatever thing God wants you to do right there. He knows better. He knows the future. There is something he has in mind for you. Praise the living God. Are you following what I'm saying here? So, don't limit God in your thinking. It's your mindset that limits God. It's your thinking that limits God. Amen? What am I saying? Eve saw the tree, partook of the tree, he became something else. God told Abraham to look up and look at the stars and said, this is my future for you. This is what I have in mind for you. Walk around it. Once you see in the mind of God, stay there, walk around it. Arise, walk around it. You see, when God begins to speak to you, he gives you strength to do what ordinarily you couldn't do. When he said, arise and walk, ability was granted. Strength was given. Are you there with me? To be able to walk around. I don't know how far he walked, but he said, walk around it. So whichever level of walk he was going to do, I don't know. But the important thing is to walk around it. In other words, see it accomplished. See it manifesting. See it coming to pass. Amen? Praise the living God. Today we are all heirs of God and Abraham's seed through Jesus Christ. We are the promise he made to Christ, to Abraham. Amen? We are the very promise. Praise the living God. So friends, what am I trying to share with you this morning? The place of seeing and understanding and knowing exactly what God has in mind for you. That the grace to accomplish those things can be made manifest. Don't be disillusioned about life. Don't be discouraged about life. Hallelujah. Amen? Are we still here? Time will not permit me to go there. I want to stop here. But if you look at the book of Genesis 31, you'll be able to read the story of Jacob. When Jacob was to leave Laban's house, Laban wanted to get all the good animals. And the Lord spoke to him in the night. Got a poplar tree called Ring Strength. But the first thing that happened was he saw in a vision rams with Ring Strength in their body, with grease in their body. And he said, this is what I'm going to give to you. This is going to be a portion for the service you render to Laban. The next thing he said, you cut a poplar tree and put it there on the roof. When the animals come to eat, they're going to receive the impression in their skin, in their body, in their gene. When they bring forth their seed, they're going to have rings in their body. Anyone that has rings in their body belongs to you. Look at that. That's business. Hallelujah. You see, the business prospered because God spoke to him what to do. You can have revelations from God about your business. Always, it's not your struggle. It's not, people are doing it this way, I'm going to do it this way. You have all of those wisdom. Praise God. That's what we're saying now. You have wisdom, you acknowledge God. But I'm saying God can do more by showing you things ordinarily you are not seeing, even in your business. And with that alone, Jacob got all of his reward in 1 second. Praise the living God. Amen. I know Jacob, before he went, he made a vow. Remember this story, Genesis 28. If you can bless me, I'll give you 1/10. Remember that. You know, one of the reasons why we don't really be able to make things available to give, tithing, whatever, is because the devil doesn't want us to do it. How do I know that? When we were living in Egypt, you know what Pharaoh said? Leave your children, leave your animals, you can go.
Why?
He knew that the animal is what they need to serve the Lord. They have to offer sacrifices, but he said, leave them behind. Israel said, no, we can't, because we don't even know the one that God wants to choose when we get there. That's the point. So the devil makes you say, your money, you can't give it to God. Your money, you can't serve God. It shuts your mind against being good and doing good in the household of faith. You don't know. Sometimes you think it's wisdom, but it's not wisdom. It's the devil trying to tell you, you don't have to do this. It's a waste of money. Praise God, somebody. But I'm saying, break loose from those mindsets. Don't limit God. Whatever thing you're sowing, there is a sowing time, there is a harvest time. If you don't see the reward, you can't be able to invest. I give you the illustration the other time. Joseph Arimathea, he was waiting for the kingdom of God. He was a rich man. Remember that? The man that gave his tomb unto who? Unto Jesus. He saw ahead of time. He prepared the tomb ahead of time. Praise the living God. Not in his own village from Arimathea. He took the tomb to Jerusalem. Ordinarily, you are supposed to be buried back in your own time in Arimathea. Why did he have to prepare the tomb in Jerusalem? Because he knew that's where Jesus is going to be buried. He saw ahead of time. So when you see the glory of God, nothing stops you from investing. One of the reasons why we are unable to invest in the kingdom of God, because we are not seeing anything ahead of us. But that must change this time around. Praise God, somebody. Because the devil can't limit us in our finances anymore. Poverty cannot be staring us on the face anymore. We got to source it. We got to do stuff that can challenge the power of the enemy and cause resources to come to us. Amen. Praise the living God.
Thank you for listening to Dr. David Ogaga. We know you have been blessed by this station. You can share this message with your friends and loved ones. For more information, inquiries, and free downloads, please visit www.davidogaga.org. God bless you.